Okay, this is the Wednesday, December 10th, 2025 Water Issues Committee meeting. Can we stand for the pledge? Chairman?
Okay, if you could please put your hand over your heart and repeat after me. I pledge allegiance
Allegiance
to the
to the
flag of
flag
the
of the
United
United
States
States
of
of
America
America
and
and
to
to
the
the
Republic
Republic
for
for which
which
it
it stands,
stands, one
one
nation,
nation, under
under
God,
God,
indivisible,
indivisible,
with
with
liberty and
liberty and justice for
justice
all.
for all.
Thank you. Okay, can we have roll call, please?
Roll call, Director Green,
Yes.
Director Wygand,
Here.
Director Yeo,
Here.
Director Tran,
Here.
Director Nguyen,
Here.
Director Mezqua,
Present.
Director Jung, Director Meeks, Director Sheldon,
Here.
Director Bilodeau. You do have a quorum of your committee.
I
Oh,
think
Madam Chair, if I may,
Director Young.
thank you. Just wanted to announce my presence.
Thank you. Noted.
Okay. Do we have any items received too late to be agendas?
They're not.
Okay. Visitors participation? Anyone want to speak? What was? Nobody? Okay. Let's move to the consent calendar. Does anyone want to pull anything? See what I mean? We have a motion.
I move the consent calendar.
We have a second.
I'll second.
Okay. Any opposed? Oh, you want to do roll call?
Yes. Roll call, Director Green.
Yes.
Director Wygand.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Tran.
Yes.
Director Nguyen.
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Okay, moving on to the preparation of the engineer's report for the Lower Santiago Creek Recharge Project.
Yes, thank you, Chair Green. Adam Hutchinson from our planning department will be presenting this item.
Morning, everybody. Let me get this queued up here.
Adam, I can hit share.
Hit share first. Okay, here we go. All right, well, thank you for having us here. We're here to talk about the Lower Santiago Creek Recharge Project. Chris can help me out here. Yeah, okay, thank you. Thank you. So the purpose of this project is really to help with increase our recharge capacity so we have more space for stormwater and other flow that we get coming down the river. I'll show you how that works. And this is Resilience Plan Priority Project number 13. So just to kind of orient you on where we are, the Santiago Creek is downstream of our Santiago recharge basins, and it starts at the basin and goes all the way down to the Santa Ana River. And what we want to do is utilize the lower reach of the creek for recharge. Currently, we use the upper reach of the creek, and we recharge about an average of 2,500 acre feet per year. But the lower creek has been a little bit challenging because of Hart Park. It's right in the middle of the creek. So what we're thinking is we'd like to use the Santiago pipeline as a source of water to get water down to the lower reach of the creek through an existing storm drain. That way we can bypass Hart Park and feed the lower reach of the creek and recharge more or less. Now, Santiago pipeline can go both directions. So right now we're draining the water conservation pool behind Prado Dam. So we are sending water up to Santiago Basin at a rate of 200 CFS or 400 acre feet per day. While we're pumping up to the pipe of Santiago Basin, we're also feeding the creek as well and Riverview Basin over here. Now, when we're done with the water conservation pool, we want to make more space in Santiago available for the next storm. So we pump water out of the basin downstream. So that's why the arrow here going both directions. So we will pump water to the creek and back to Riverview Basin. So we're relatively limited on options of where we can pump the water to when we're draining Santiago Basin. So this is why having the lower reach of the creek available will help accelerate the draining of the pool of the water in Santiago in between storm, as well as in the fall when we're ready for stormwater capture in the wintertime. So I'm gonna walk through some of the pictures here. I have the red stars to denote where I've taken pictures. I'm gonna show different parts of the project and different parts of the creek. So the first picture here, the upper reach of the creek, and that's right by Cahuilla Sports Center and Park. And our Mr. Ben Smith is right here in the foreground there, helping me survey the area, at the wetted area of the creek up there. So this is the picture of Hart Park. And you can see the driveway of Hart Park is right in the creek itself. This park and the infrastructure around it was built in the Depression era almost 100 years ago. So the city is very reluctant to touch this infrastructure and do anything to disturb it. So in because of the concerns, we did a feasibility study back in 2015, looking at different options of ways to get water through the park or around the park. So we actually looked at four different options to run water through the park, you know, simple trenching through the park, directional drilling underneath the park, maybe going around it. And those were all not seen favorably by the city. They didn't really want to see any of these alternatives pursued. We also looked at three alternatives to get water around the park using a different methodology. And this idea came up by one of our recharge operators at our recharge enhancement working group meeting that we have every year. And he said, well, why not use the storm drains? And we thought, well, great, let's look into it. And so that's what we did. We looked at three different storm drains and found out that one of them dumps in right up below Hart Park and would only require a short section of pipe to connect it to our existing pipeline. And the cost of that was $2 million back in 2015. It's probably more now, but based on the amount of water we would recharge, the payback would be fairly quick. So what this would look like is this is the Lemon Street storm drain that comes into the creek right below Hart Park here on the right. And the main reach of the street we want to use for recharge extends from this 22 freeway down to the 5 freeway where the Discovery Cube is located. Any water that gets past here is still recharged, but we want to really focus on this reach here. There is a parking lot in Santa Ana at the Lawn Bowling Center in the creek bed, but this is a lot newer and the city of Santa Ana is not opposed to building infrastructure through this park. And they are also very supportive of having water in that reach of the creek for recreational purposes. They have a park right here around the creek. So as I mentioned, we're looking at a capacity of up to 485 acre feet per month of additional recharge capacity using this stretch of the creek. This is the picture of where the Lemon Street storm drain enters into Santiago Creek here at the 22 freeway. So that's located right here in the bank and is keeping these trees nice and happy right here with the stormwater. This is the picture of the lower reach of the creek right above the Discovery Cube. And this picture was taken when we were doing percolation testing in the creek bed. So we put these sandbags up here temporarily to make the water spread out over a larger area. But you can see the creek is not level. So one aspect of this project would be to level the creek so that water would go from bank to bank, therefore maximizing the wetted area and the recharge capacity of the creek. So there are a lot of benefits to this project. It creates a new recharge facility of an area that's existing and not being used. And it will be used year round. It could be used right now today as we're draining the water conservation pool. It can be used in the summertime when we're draining Santiago Basin to make space for the next winter. The capacity is up to almost 500 acre feet per month. And it's going to assist with capturing and recharge Santa Ana River water. And draining the conservation pool in the winter, like right now, and then draining the basin in the summer and fall months. So really taking a facility that's right there, ready to be used and getting water to it and using it to enhance our recharge capabilities. So our recommendation is just to get authorization from the board to have staff spend time preparing an engineer's report for the project, updating project costs, reviewing all other aspects of the project, and then we'll bring that engineer's report back to the board for further consideration in the future. So that is the project. Happy to answer any questions.
Do we have any questions? Are there any questions online, Steve?
No questions online.
Do we have a motion?
I'll make the motion that we approve. And I appreciate the staff report and our hard work trying to find some new areas to look at. So thank you.
Do we have a second?
Tran, second the motion.
Okay. Have a motion and a second.
Roll call, Director Green.
Yes.
Director Wiegand.
Yes.
Director Yeo.
Yes.
Director Tran.
Yes.
Director Nguyen.
Yes.
That motion carries 5-0.
Thanks. Great report. Moving on to the UCI Master of Engineering Capstone Project, researching the Santa Ana River sediment transport by rail.
Yes, Chair Green. The district is partnering with UCI's Master Engineering Program on a capstone project to evaluate the feasibility of transporting inland sediment to coastal beaches by rail. That obviously has relevance to our management of sediment in the Prado Basin. So we invited Brett Sanders from UCI Civil and Environmental Engineering here to give us an overview of that effort.
Great.
All right. Good afternoon, everyone. Can you hear me all right? Online? Oh, it's great to be here. It's an honor to be here. You know, I've been working here in Southern California since, 1997, came to USCI, and Orange County Water District has always been a model organization. I don't know if you guys realize this, but Orange County Water District is known throughout the world, especially for the groundwater replenishment system and the innovation that's happened here. And my hope here in my talk is that I might stimulate you into thinking that there's another opportunity for innovation on the horizon here with respect to securing future water supplies. And this is sort of a step in that direction. We're going to be talking about a master's of engineering project looking at really overcoming the logistical challenges of moving sediment from inland areas towards coastal beaches where there's enormous demand for sediment. This project is a response to interactions I've had with your planning department led by Executive Director Lisa Haney. And this is the second year we've had a Master of Engineering program where we've had teams of students who are really excited about jumping on a practical problem. And these are students who are coming into a new program, this Master of Engineering program that is bringing students from different disciplinary backgrounds, putting them through a little bit more of a professional training, and giving them a chance to jump on something with a sort of a client, so to speak, in mind. And I'm going to walk you through what this project is looking like, kind of the arc of it, what we think we can accomplish, and I'd be delighted to take any questions you might have along the way or afterwards. So the synopsis of the project is that it's a 5-month long experience. The students will basically get started on this capstone experience right after the new year in early January. And they'll basically proceed through winter quarter, through spring quarter. And during that time, we'll have weekly meetings where an advisory group, including myself and Executive Director Haney, will meet with them each week, providing direction, guidance, supervision on tasks. In between meetings, they're going to be scurrying about, interacting with a lot of different organizations. We're really geared up for a broad collaboration with Orange County Public Works, Orange County Parks, Army Corps, Fish and Wildlife Service, OCTA, Supervisor Foley's is also supporting this project, and she's invited or basically offered to host a kickoff workshop where we bring together all the key agencies that are interested in working on this problem of getting sediment from inland areas to beaches. Let's put them all in the room and let's let the students learn about everything that's already been done. So then we can move forward with sort of thinking about what a sort of a rail solution might look like. And anybody that knows, say, an engineering background and you solve problems, we have obviously we're good at looking at our equations and coming up with solutions to equations, but the solutions are always controlled by the constraints, right? The boundary conditions. And so we're going to go out of our way here to make sure that we do all we can to get as much information to this team about the constraints. And there's a lot of constraints to this problem, which has really made it challenging to move forward more effectively. But we're bringing in faculty expertise with both environmental expertise, which is myself. I pulled in a colleague from transportation, Professor Mike Hyland. And we hope that we can move forward with some specific recommendations about a rail solution.
And
So,
you said assembly Diane Dix Assemblywoman Diane Dixon isn't included in this, and yet she's had a number of workshops on this.
yeah, I'd be happy to invite Assemblymember Dixon to join us if she was interested in learning about what we're doing or sharing any resources she might
I
have.
was going to say
Yeah, be
she
happy to
with
do
the
that.
studying,
Yeah,
she probably has a lot of resources.
I was at a event that she organized with the Orange County Business Council a couple months ago, looking at what she called the business of beaches and sharing what we've learned recently about beach erosion and also beach widening. We have some beaches getting wider, some getting narrower. So I want to frame to you kind of the challenge here, which may not be evident to everyone, but and it may be crystal clear to many. But your basin, your Prado Basin, is filling up with sediment. And when that basin was built, working with the Army Corps, they knew it would fill up with sediment. Army Corps has historically been interested in flood control, and that's been their main mission. But the Orange County Water District has been able to take advantage of the lower elevations of that basin to store water. And by storing water that comes in there during winter months, during the storm season, that provides a reservoir which then can be slowly released down the Santa Ana River and used to recharge basins throughout Orange County and put water into the Orange County basin. And obviously, illustrating that with the graphic here. On the top right here, this is a plot of the amount of sediment that's built up inside of the basin since 1940. So there's surveys that have been done in the basin decade after decade. And so basically, between 1940 and 2020, it's filled up with around 85,000 million cubic yards of sediment. And from a total flood storage capacity, that's not a huge fraction. So if you're the Army Corps and you're worried about the ability to store a big flood and protect the public in Orange County, that's not a big number. You still got a lot of storage there. But if you're the person trying to store water in the bottom of the basin, it's becoming a bigger and bigger fraction of the storage capacity. So these plots here show the amount of water that's stored at relatively low elevation pools over time. So as of 1940, at a pool elevation of 505 feet, there was something like 45,000 acre feet of water that could be stored in that basin. And as sediment has filled up, that number has gone down and down and down and down and down. And now we're down here, something at like 25,000 acre feet of storage that's possible at an elevation of. And if I read, just reading the newspapers and following along current events, I noticed that there were some negotiations with the Army Corps and the Orange County Water District was successful in negotiating the possibility of higher pool elevations in wintertime. And so if you get up to like this 508 number, then that gets you a little bit out of the wood, out of the tricky part. But there's basically the filling of the sediment basin with sediment is leading to less space available to store water, which then is used to for the water supply of over 1 million people here in Orange County. So we'd love to help. A lot of people would love to help you get sediment out of that basin. That's the other story here, is that everybody wants to get it out. People would love to get access to that sediment. I don't know if you realize that you're sitting on literally like hundreds of years of sediment supply for coastal communities that are hungry for sediment. It's like an enormous wealth of sediment that could serve, much of Southern California's needs. But it's really expensive to get it out. And it's not just the cost. There's all sorts of logistical constraints with sensitive species, with the timing of getting access, and obviously with the operational needs of the Army Corps. So it's a puzzle to try to fit together all these constraints. But the point is that right now the people that need sand are going all the way to Palm Springs to put it in trucks, and it's really expensive. So it's basically been suggested that this seems like a train-based approach would, in theory, seem more cost-effective. But all these constraints have sort of made this sort of simplistic, cost-effective solution have kind of come across as elusive so far. Basically, material sand put in cars could, in theory, be rolled all the way down to the beach in San Clemente. You could imagine a sort of some kind of a conveyor belt of some kind, moving it off over to the beach, and then waves can take it from there. We've been studying the wave-driven transport along Southern California coast recently, getting more and more into that. And I think that you could put all the sand you wanted here, and it would serve all of the beaches south of there, all the way down to San Diego. You could take it further down the tracks, further San Diego, and place it there as well. So there's a lot of potential for customers to use this sediment if you could just get it out of the basin. And also, like this rail, interestingly, I was just doing some research, and the sort of the upswing into fracking has like also led to a whole lot more sand by rail work going on around the country. So the rail company has been more and more dialed into the needs of moving sand by rail because of the fracking industry. So lots of constraints, disturbances to habitat-sensitive species, restrictions on placement in the coastal zone. Where are you going to find a rail spur for loading and unloading? There's minimum volume constraints. So a shipping company, a rail freight's not going to move, only one car. They're going to want a certain number, minimum number of cars to be able to do this. Then you've got issues with the tracks themselves being congested, and OCTA will say we only have so much space on the lines. So working through all these logistics is going to be tricky. As I said, Prado Basin plays a really big role in Southern California. This basin captures 25% of all sediment in Southern California that's trying to drain towards the coast. Around 1 million cubic years of sediment accumulates in the basin. I think it's a little bit less than that number, but and there's a total estimated of around 4 million cubic meters per year that's flowing across all Southern California watersheds. So you've got a big piece of the puzzle that you're managing. And what we've done in last year was, we put together student projects that kind of bring this topic to the forefront and pull a whole lot of stakeholders together to look at a problem, to think about it, to talk about it. And so what we plan for this next year then is sort of first like a discovery phase where we have the student team consult with experts and have this initial sort of discovery period, collecting all available information that's going to bear on the constraints of this logistical problem. By March and April, we hope to have some preliminary quote solutions like source locations, staging, rail spurs, costs and benefits. Then, as of April time, we want to have a preliminary symposium where the students come forward and present their ideas. And we'd be happy to welcome everybody in this space to be a part of that and come and see what's been presented, ask questions, suggest alternatives, give the students some potential different ideas to think about, and then they'd in the next month work to finalize their sort of their project. So that's the scope of the project. It's a great opportunity to work through some logistical problems that have lots of constraints in a really transparent way, and bring forward some common sense ideas that I think would help this organization with securing that space that's needed for capturing stormwater and providing the water supply that your mission calls you to provide, and at the same time be a good neighbor with coastal cities who are looking for a more affordable way to find sediment and meet their needs for beaches. So thank you all very much, and I'd be delighted to take questions from anyone, any of the directors, or anyone else that would like to ask questions.
Director Wigand has his hand raised.
Yes, I wanted to thank Professor Sanders for this. We sat down a while back and had some preliminary kind of discussion on this, and I see you as kind of the forefront of understanding where the sand goes off our coasts. And I get the unique pleasure of having a joint role being a city council member for Newport Beach, where sand is very important and vital to our economy, but also a director here at the Water District. So I really appreciate the opportunity to get to have this studied, and just want to make sure that we're focusing beyond Prado, heading towards the mountains and looking kind of where we have roads and infrastructure already created next to where rail line exists along the Santa River, and looking at sources that sand has accumulated so we can essentially prevent the sand from getting into Prado. And so that's my big hope here, that using GIS or using some type of technology to kind of look up and down the river to say, okay, here's a good site that we see a ton of sediment accumulating. It's next to the freeway, so trucks can enter and exit. It's near some infrastructure of side streets and arterial highways that can hold large trucks that can then move it onto the rail line, that we have a rail spur that's connected in it right next door to where the river is, and then seeing all the sand and easily unload it onto train cars and then move it towards our coastal community. So I do think this is a really neat project for the students and for us at the Water District to entertain an idea that perhaps provides solutions to our regional partners. And that's what this is all about. It's showing Orange County Water District partners with the counties, partners with the cities, just like we do with GWRS, and how we've managed to work with other agencies to bring an amazing water recycling treatment facility to all of our customers. This is a similar task that we're having with the Water District and our local partners. So I'm really excited about this, and I appreciate Lisa Haney hearing me out a few times on this and her ideas, and approaching you, Professor Sanders, and really looking forward to this results coming back to see if this is practical. It's and a lot of folks, this is a pipe dream, but we don't know until we actually study it. And this is a good opportunity for students who, we have a lot of UCI employees or former students who are employees now and at our district. So this is a good opportunity to kind of perk their interests into the water world and how it all works with government. And so I really appreciate it, and look forward to this.
Thank you, Director Wigand. And it's my apologies for not mentioning that we do indeed plan to look upstream from the Prado Basin at available sources of sediment. And that's something that was communicated to me earlier by Lisa Haney, and I did not put in my presentation. But so rest assured, that will be part of our activity.
Great. Yeah, that's key, because that whole, if we can prevent it from even getting into Prado, that's a good step too. Yeah, getting it out of Prado would be great as well, but also preventing it to continue to further take up that space. So this is really neat. So thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Director Sheldon and Director Meeks have questions.
Lisa was going to say something.
Just real quick, I wanted to thank Director Wigand very much for his support and the ideas that he's brought forward. And this is a planning project, thinking about the future and long-term resilience of our Prado Basin. So again, the preventative aspect of sediment even reaching us is an important part of the study. I also wanted to mention that this is budgeted in the planning budget already, and we're providing $19,500 towards this project. And Supervisor Katrina Foley, I believe, matched that funding amount. So we are having outside funding to help broaden and support this project. And I loved your idea of also reaching out to others to see if we could even enhance that. with outside support. So we'll look into that for sure.
Director Sheldon.
Thank you, Chair Green. First, I wanted to echo and confirm your suggestion that Assemblymember Dixon be invited to participate in this. She's been a great friend of the Orange County Water District, great friend of Water Supply, and a great friend of helping to solve this beach erosion problem. So we certainly ask you to contact her on behalf of the Water District. We suggested that. My other just suggestion, I guess, for next year would be is, because I'm concerned that once you get all that sand down, they're just going to wash away again to, maybe start having the students study the groynes and the jetties and how in other countries and here in Orange County has prevented this erosion of the sand in other cities. So that would just be a little comment to consider for next year. Thank you.
Director Binks.
Thank you. Yeah, I wanted to just voice my support for this kind of wagon. I think that this project goes above and beyond, our limited role in providing water, but looking at global improvements that we can do for all the communities around and getting rid of the sand where we want to store water and putting it on beaches that are being negatively impacted by rising ocean water and things. It's a great way for us to partner with our communities. So looking forward for hopefully some unique and innovative solutions that will work. Thanks.
Thank you. Anyone else?
No other hands.
Okay. Great report. I wish you luck.
Thank you.
I'll be interested in following this.
Thank you, everyone, for your attention this morning and the opportunity to share this. Thank you.
Okay. Moving on to emergency water supplies to South Orange County update.
Yeah, Chris Olson has a brief verbal update on this item.
Should have turned my microphone off. Yeah, very brief update. Just want to inform the committee that we did have a second stakeholders meeting, and that was with South OC agencies and our producers, and that was regarding the use of East Orange County Feeder Number 2 in the emergency water supply. And there was also a community piece that was developed to be shared amongst agencies and council members and people on boards and committees to share with the public what is going on here, what is the purpose, and what is the use. And so that was well received. That is in the packet, and as well as the meeting minutes are in the packet. And the only other item as of right now is there's going to be a future meeting, and that's going to be with Metropolitan Water District, and that's going to be our staff and MODOC staff and City of Santa Ana and Moulton McGill Water District staff, and that's scheduled for January 7th, and that's to talk about using that East Orange County Feeder Number 2 and what does an emergency really constitute. So all the meeting minutes, the communication piece is in the packet and can take any questions.
Any questions? Any other comments? Any more comments? Okay. You just want to sit and listen. Any questions or comments? Okay.
No hands.
All right. Moving on to, can we put everything on consent calendar for the board meetings? Do we have any directors' announcements or reports? See any general managers' announcement reports?
Nothing to report.
Okay. Sure.